So we are in the midst of a summer preaching series called Drawn Together, Reflections from the Wilderness. This series is inviting us to focus on the book of Exodus and to join the Israelites as they escape from slavery in Egypt and journey toward freedom in the Promised Land. Our scripture reading today stands right at the cusp of this transition from slavery to freedom. In the chapters leading up to today's passage, Moses and his brother Aaron have been locked in a battle with Pharaoh, a battle that has gone 9 rounds so far. Over and over again, God has spoken to Pharaoh through Moses, asking Pharaoh to let the Israelites go free. But over and over again, Pharaoh's heart has been hardened. He has refused to let God's people go. So God has brought plague after plague upon the land of Egypt and its people. God has turned the water of the Nile into blood. He has covered the land of Egypt with frogs. He has sent swarms of gnats and swarms of flies. Livestock have died of disease and people have been covered in boils. Hail has rained down from the heavens and locusts have devoured every single plant they could find. Darkness has covered the whole land. 9 plagues so far, 9 rounds in this battle between God and Pharaoh. Now there is one last round to go, a round that will bring a plague of death to the land of Egypt, even as it brings the promise of salvation to the people of Israel. This plague of the death of the firstborn is laid out in Exodus chapter 11, but then everything comes to a halt at the beginning of chapter 12. We pause for a moment between death and salvation, between slavery and freedom. We pause here to learn that God wants the Israelites to remember this moment forever. God gives them a yearly festival so they can tell the story of their salvation. You'll hear in today's scripture reading that God is pretty specific about how this festival is supposed to go. He tells the Israelites exactly what to eat and how to eat it and who to eat it with. This is not how potluck suppers began. Every detail is laid out so that over and over again, generation after generation, the people of Israel will remember exactly how God passed them over in the plague of death and offered them instead the promise of life. So let's listen now for the word of God in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments, for I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, our middle hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. If you are here in the sanctuary, you'll find it in the hymnal. It is number 98. If you're worshiping from home, you'll see the words dropped into the comments so that you can sing along with us.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Why is this night different from all other nights? That question is spoken by the youngest child each time a family gathers to celebrate Passover. Tradition says that if the youngest child forgets that they are to ask this question, they must be told to ask it. Why is this night different from all other nights? It is in answering this question that families fulfill the commandment to tell their children about the Israelites' journey from slavery to freedom, from death to life. It is in answering this question that Jewish families remember the story of their ancestors' salvation. But they don't tell the story of the Exodus only to remember in the past. They tell the story of the Exodus to shape who they are in the present. Notice that the question the youngest child asks isn't about the past. It's not, why was that night different from all other nights? The question is, why is this night different? Every time the Passover meal is celebrated, tradition invites Jewish people of every generation to find their place in the story. That's because the Exodus wasn't something that happened only to their ancestors. It's something that happened to them too. That's the beautiful thing about rituals and traditions. They transcend time and place and connect us to the deepest truths about who we are. So over and over again, generation after generation, Jews continue to remember how God passed them over in the plague of death and offered them instead the promise of life. They were there to eat the lamb and the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs. They were there to put the blood on the doorposts so that death would not enter their homes. They were there. They were part of the Exodus, so God's salvation belongs to them too. That is the beautiful thing about rituals and traditions. They transcend time and place and remind us of the deepest truths about who we are. That is what Passover is all about, really. It's about telling the story of God's salvation back in the Exodus and then reminding Jewish people of every generation that they were saved then too. And I think it's intentional that God places the tradition of Passover within the context of community. Did you notice that the Passover meal is to be shared? Each family is supposed to take a lamb, and if a family is too small to eat a whole lamb themselves, then they widen the circle and invite their neighbors in. No one eats alone. This ritual that remembers the story of God's salvation and the promise of new life, it's a tradition that lives in community. So it's not just the story itself that matters. It's also about the community that gathers to tell the story. From the very beginning, God seems to know we need each other in order to remember the deepest truths about who we are. Now, there are lots of ways to connect the celebration of Passover within the Jewish community to the celebration of the sacraments within the Christian church today. Of course, we know it was during a Passover meal that Jesus took the bread and the cup. He took these symbols that had been used for generations to tell the story of God's salvation, and he used them to tell a new chapter in that story. So every time we gather at the Lord's table, we remember that the promise of God's salvation belongs not just to the first disciples who shared that Passover meal with Jesus. The promise of God's salvation belongs to us too. That is the beautiful thing about rituals and traditions. They transcend time and place and connect us to the deepest truths of who we are. So there are lots of ways to connect the tradition of Passover with the sacrament of communion, but today I want to invite us to make a connection to another sacrament. Because the story of Passover is about the promise of new life. It's a story about God's salvation. It's about gathering in community to tell that story and to remember those deepest truths about who we are. And the sacrament of baptism is about those things too. The sacrament of baptism is about the promise of new life in Christ. It's about God's salvation poured out for each one of us. It is the waters of baptism that tell us the deepest truths of who we are. So today we might ask ourselves, why is the water in our baptismal font different from every other water? And in some ways, it's not different at all. I hope I'm not dashing anyone's dreams by telling you that the water in our font comes right out of the faucet in the kitchen upstairs. It's good old Weymouth water. But what we do together takes that water and makes it holy. Because we remember how much Jesus loved children and wanted to bless them. We remember how Jesus himself was baptized in the Jordan River and how the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove as he was coming up out of the water. We remember how God's voice came from heaven declaring Jesus to be God's beloved Son. And we remember that the water in every baptismal font everywhere tells us the same thing too, that we are God's beloved. So every time we gather at the font, we remember that the story of God's salvation is a story that has been told over and over again from generation to generation. From the first Exodus to the Last Supper, from the Red Sea to the Jordan River, from every Passover meal to every communion table to every baptismal font, over and over again, we are reminded that God's salvation belongs to us. We have these rituals to remember the story of God's salvation and the promise of new life. We have these traditions that live in community because God seems to know that we need each other in order to remember the deepest truths about who we are. So, friends, if you are here in the sanctuary, I want to invite you to take a moment to look around again. I know you did this at the beginning of the service, but look around again at all of the beloved children of God who are here in the sanctuary with you. I mean it, really. Look around. Look at each other. Look at all of these beautiful and beloved children of God. And now see if you can catch someone's eye and say to them out loud, we're all going to do it together, you are God's beloved. Catch someone's eye, make eye contact, ready? Here we go. You are God's beloved. All right, catch someone else's eye. Look the other way. Catch someone else's eye. Look. And say again, ready? You are God's beloved. And if you are worshiping online, know that you are part of this beloved community too. You can remind each other of this by leaving a comment and declaring that good news. You are God's beloved. Friends, what a blessing it is that we have this place of worship and this community of faith so that we can remember the deepest truths about who we are. God's salvation belongs to us. The promise of new life is for us. We are God's beloved. Thanks be to God. Amen.